The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Are you nostalgic for a simpler time?
A time where controllers didn't have so many buttons.
A time where games weren't so overly complicated by so many plot devices.
Yeah.
Me too. I miss my NES.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games. But I didn't have anyone to play with, so I decided to start the Super Switch Club. That's right, a podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library. Each week, my friends and I will discuss games from the NES to the SNES. Games like
Super Mario World,
Kirby's Dream Land 3,
Donkey Kong Country,
The Legend of Zelda,
Super Metroid,
Balloon Fight,
Punch-Out,
A Link to the Past,
F-Zero,
and so much more.
The Super Switch Club is a podcasters assemble style show from the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network, where we'll be replaying and discussing some of our favorite video games from our childhood.
So join us on the Super Switch Club, where you can relive the nostalgia of tearing your hair out over an NES game that loves to troll the shit out of you.
Best of all, you can too.
Head on over to probablywork.com/SuperSwitchClub now to learn more.
And welcome to the Chrono Cross Club with me. Yes, it's me, everybody's favourite host of this show. But, you know, other than Scott. Oh, and Rich. I'm pretty myself. Anyway, yeah, it's me, it's Bill, and welcome to the Chrono Cross Club, where, yes, we started a side club because I love making too much work for myself. It does really good things for my lifestyle. So, yes, we are currently playing through Chrono Cross, as you may have realised. So, last time, I had everyone play through Radical Dreamers, which was great fun. I may or may not have finished that game yet. I've still not finished it. but here we are, we've begun Chrono Cross. And luckily, I did finish this checkpoint. So our first two-week goal was to reach the end of the Viper Manor Raid, which was had an interesting end to it. It all went a bit bonkers at the end, shall we say. But, I mean, the game starts off bonkers anyway, so yeah. Good fun stuff. But yes, the next section that we have to get through here is to finish Fort Dragoonia, by June 15th. And I had some mild complaints about this, that maybe this section was a bit too long. But I mean, quite frankly, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't played this game before. Trying to get through it as quickly as we can, people. Without, you know, too much delay. So yeah, apologies if this bit is a bit too long. I mean, it seemed okay looking at the guides and stuff. I may have got it wrong. Who knows? But yeah, not June 15th, sorry, June 19th. So complete Fort Dragoonia first visit. I've got in brackets here. Apparently you go back there later on. By June 19th. But what happens here? What happens at the beginning of Chrono Cross? So we start the game and oh my, wow. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous game. Now I'm playing this on my Switch. I've only got a Switch Lite, so not exactly playing it on a big screen or anything. And I changed, you can't do it once you're in the game, but you can do it before you like load your save up and stuff. You can set what types of graphics you use. And people have been complaining about slowdown and stuff, but I set it to the original graphics with like, it has some polish on it. But it's a bit more faithful to the original graphics. And I've had no slowdowns or anything. The game just runs like butter. So, and to be honest with you, I tried both modes. And I think whatever they've done with where it has like the more original version of the graphics is a lot nicer than the new versions. I don't know why. I had the same problem with the FF8 remaster, where it just kind of, the stuff that they've like overly polished, like the sprites and like the characters and stuff, it looks weird with the backgrounds because they haven't upscaled the backgrounds at all. The backgrounds actually look worse, which is all to do with how CRT TVs used to blend lines together back in the day. So CRT TVs used to do some work in the background to kind of like make up images in a way. It's this thing called do scan lines. I don't fully understand it. I've got a vague grasp of it, but you can't do that with modern technology anymore. So yeah, you have to kind of program things to learn how to do it themselves, and it doesn't look like Square have even bothered to be honest with you trying to do that. It's just like, yes, we've got the original picture, slap it on there. And it's just like, nope, you guys should have done something to have that CRT overlay. But anyway, but that's what it seems to have done. That when you click the original version of the graphics, it just looks way, way better, in my opinion. Bill's opinion is the only opinion that counts, apart from when I get to Scott's shots. Oh my god, shots with Scott's, right? Scott is very strict with me, okay? I'm supposed to keep my tea times to 5 minutes. He's very, very strict, is old Scott. You know, he comes over and he whips me occasionally. But that's nothing to do with the podcast. That's just for fun. But, and, you know, it's really hard trying to keep feedback of these sections down to such a short chunk of time. And I normally go to about 6 minutes. I kind of think if I start going over 6 minutes, I'm taking the piss a bit. Scott's given me fucking 9 minutes today. 9 minutes, Scott. Yeah, I hope you see now. It's not always so easy to keep it chopped down into a nice segmented thing. Anyway, I know Scott's got a few complaints about my, again, my choices of segments of stops. But to be honest with you, time-wise, I'm kind of hitting everything. But then also, I'm kind of abusing the No Encounters mod on the Switch, as well as beefing up your party a little bit for battles and the fast-forward button. I'm basically using all of that shit. It's fucking great. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a lot of time in this world, you know? I've got so much shit to do day in, day out. And yet, then the Switch comes along. It's just like, hey, we'll make this so much easier for you. Thank you. Thank you, Lords of Square. This is amazing. Anyway, so what happens first? So we start off in this like weird like dungeon thing. We're playing a guy called Serge. And apparently the other two characters who... I think one of them who's with you is always with you. And then I think the other character is just random. So again, in Chrono Cross, I think you can recruit something like 42, 46 characters or something like that outside of the main ones. And yeah, it's a big old game and lots to do. And yeah, it's really cool that you just have a random person join you at the beginning of each game. So you'd have to start this game over and over and over and over again just to witness all of those different ones, just to see what little variations of text they all have when they talk to each other. But you're not really sure what's going on. You're kind of just wandering around. And then you get to the top of this thing. You go for this really cool lift. Again, the game is just gorgeous. And the cutscenes are classic FMV cutscenes. You know, this is, you know, above the FF7 style quality, shall we say, of cutscenes. But you're looking at FF8, somewhere between FF8 and FF9. They are just unbelievable for a PS1 game. So, so gorgeous. And this is what made everyone fall in love with Square back in the day, that they did these huge, gorgeous cutscenes. But yeah, you go up through this lift, and then you get this cutscene where one of the characters is lying on the floor bleeding, and then the other character, who we find out is going to be Serge in a minute, is standing there holding a knife, and its blood's dripping off of it. You're like, oh my god, what's going on here? This is crazy. And then suddenly, your mum wakes you up. Yes, this is definitely a Chrono Trigger-esque game, because you start the game with your mum waking you up in bed. So, you know, we kind of assume that this might be some sort of weird nightmare thing. Yeah, nobody really cares. You go, this gives you the chance to now explore Arnie Village, and it's gorgeous. Again, just gorgeous. This game has the same positives with the world that FF10 has. Because with FF10, you're in this gorgeous archipelago of islands where it's just like tropical, you know, it's like a dream, isn't it? It's like where everyone wants to go on holiday. That's what it is. And it's the same here with Chrono Cross. It's this beautiful tropical location with all these gorgeous places, waterfalls flying everywhere. The world map music, once you go outside the village, is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And there's a few little places dotted around. There was even places like I've attempted to play this game 3 or 4 times in the past. I found somewhere I'd never found before. It was like this like cliff face thing up the side thing, and yeah, I was just like, oh shit, and it didn't pop up on the map. Like, you go to the Hydra Marshes, it comes up and says Hydra Marshes. You go to the little valley thing and it says Valley Fossil Valley or whatever it's called, and you go to Lizard Rock, but yeah, this one, it didn't have anything, and I was just like, oh sweet, I found this is really cool. I started wondering what else there was, and I spent a bit of time wandering around, maybe too much time, but amazing, gorgeous guy. I'm going to say that so much in this. I'll try and cut that out, okay? I'll just describe what the areas are like. But yeah, Arnie Village is like this tropical fishing village. You go out onto the jetty and you can speak to your friend Lena. And she actually vaguely mentions some sort of accident 10 years ago, which you survived. And she's there. She's looking after her like brother and sister. And she's kind of like our girlfriend, but everyone seems to think you're a couple, but you don't. You two don't seem to think you're a couple, or whatever it is. But yeah, she asks you to get some kimono scales, which you can get by killing some innocent kimono pups at Lizard Rock. Oh, these poor little pups. So that's basically your next thing. But there are a few other little things you can do. If you explore the village and you find the giant bone, which I think is at the back of the cafe, if I remember rightly, under a bed, you can give it to this big purple dog who's running around by this guy. And this guy, old guy, bald head, looks a bit like Master Roshi. You can talk to him. He will teach you the battle system. And I'm not just saying, like, you know, here's how to attack and stuff. He goes full in, balls out on the elemental stuff. So if anyone hasn't bothered going to speak to this guy and is going, I don't understand how the elemental system works, it's because you haven't spoken to this guy. Now, let me tell you about how the elementals works, okay? I've got no idea because I didn't talk to that guy. Like I said, I've played this game a few other times before. I know I have to talk to him because I've done it before. And I've gone through the things before. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm going to avoid this. Yeah, I'm now like, you know, 5-6 hours into the game and I've got no idea how the elemental system works. And it's like, I should have just gone and spoken to him. But anyway, yeah, I recruited this giant dog, Poshel. And then he comes with me to Lizard Rock. Yeah, where we go and kill these innocent pups to get all these things. And I can't remember if you actually take the necklace back to Lena or if you go to... No, you do, you do. No, no, you meet... Oh, that's it. You meet Lena on the beach. Yeah? Yeah, on the beach. Also, if you haven't played yet and you're going to catch up, make sure when you're in Arnie Village before you leave and go out getting scales that you go and get the shark tooth off the fisherman. Okay? Very important. Very important. Yeah, anyway. So you... you go to the Cape Howe at the end of Lizard Rock and shit goes down. Oh, yes. You start having these weird visions. Stuff happens. All this like blue light surrounds, surge and swirls round and round. And he just passes out onto the beach like a drunken dumbass. And then when you wake up, everything's a bit weird. Yeah, everything's a bit weird. Like the monsters are slightly different in Lizard Rock. And then you go back to Arnie Village and nobody recognises who you are. And then when you go speak to Lena, she has no idea who you are. Not a foggy clue. And she's just like, what? Who are you? Who are you? And yeah, you know, you walk around the village and you find out that actually a kid named Serge died 10 years ago in an accident at the beach. Or at Cape Howe somewhere, and was drowned. And that's who you are. You think you're Serge, but apparently you died some time ago. And it's like, ah, oh man, I've walked into an alternate dimension here. This is absolutely crazy. And again, one of the cool things you can do, I'm not sure if it's now or if you're doing it in a minute, but you can take the shark tooth down to the fisherman. And then he's like worshipping this giant voodoo doll. And then as you go to, if you give him the shark tooth, because he's not a fisherman in this world, he's done apparently voodoo worship instead. You know, those were the two career choices he had. For some reason, he chose to worship voodoo dolls. Yep. And then as you go to give him the shark's tooth, he reminisces about when he did want to become a fisherman before. And this voodoo doll comes to life and it's got this big, huge pin for it and it will join your team. It's like, oh my God. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I think you have to do this in a minute. But anyway, but yeah, if you go to Cape Howe, you can visit your grave, which is pretty cool. And then you actually get accosted by a guy called Kosh, who's a dragoon. And his other guy is called Slot and Pepper. I think it's supposed to be like a posh way of saying salt and pepper. But yeah. And these are supposed to be like the comedy relief of this game. And oh yeah, it's not landing for me. I'll tell you that now. Not feeling the comedy factor here, not at all. But yeah, eventually this kid turns up, who is a girl with blonde hair, who's actually called Kid. You may remember a character from Kid, from Magical Dreamers, which I still haven't beat. and she will help you out in this fight. And she then offers to join up with you and help you discover what's going on with your identity. And you get to either say yes or no. And I said no, because I'd watched a YouTube video before saying if you just refuse Kid a few times, you can get better characters. So that's what I did. So I told her to bugger off, went back to the village, and Lena joined up with me instead. Yes! Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I want to wear a dress. I mean, yeah, anyway, let's carry on. So Lena joins up with you, and you decide that you're going to go off to Temeria to see if you can find out a bit more. And on the way, you go through this fossil valley, where you get another fight with Slot and Pepper. And these Slot and Pepper encounters are basically, again, they're trying to teach you about the game and about elementals, and mostly about opposing elementals. And they keep seeming to forget which ones they're supposed to be using, which is supposed to then endear you to them and teach you how to actually use the elements. But yeah, fuck it, not paying attention. Auto battle, go. But there's some really cool stuff you can do here as well. If you go up to the top of the Fossil Valley, you have to tell like the people who are guarding it that you are in fact an exorcist, because all they can hear is howling and they're all afraid that there's a ghost up there. And they'll let you up, and then you can actually find the skull of Skelly. Hey, shout out to Skeleton House Podcast. He helped me out with my yeast-free review. He's amazing. Yeah, that's Brett from Skeleton House Podcast. He's in this game, people, and you have to collect every part of his body to put him back together. The first thing you get is his head. So, yeah, you get his head, and then also you can go down and fight a dodo, which I admit I tried it twice, and I died, and I hit auto-battle, and it did it for me. Goodbye, dodo. And then you get this cool egg thing, which I believe I can use later on for something, for another character recruiting, but I don't know who it's going to be. But yeah, this really cool thing about this game, the character recruiting, I don't know, people give a shit because like you've got 42 characters and a lot of the time there's nothing to those characters other than just getting them into your party and then letting them sit on the side. Because I end up in a situation where like I've got Mojo, the voodoo doll, and I really like Mojo, but I'm going to have to replace him in a minute for a story mission where I need two other story characters, and Mojo's then going to sit on the bench and I can't see Mojo coming back. It's just like... But they don't get out and they don't get involved with the story much. But it's kind of like, it's the side content, isn't it? It's the extra bits. It's the extra collectible things. And it's kind of cool. And like the Skelly one's one of the better ones because you have to go and get his bones from different locations in order to actually fully recruit him and bring him into your team. But it's just cool. I just love it. I just love all these little, they're just mini side, like that's all it is. Recruiting the characters is mini side quests. If you think of it as characters for the story, you're going to be disappointed. If you think of it as fun things to do as you're working your way through the game and trying to work out how to collect all these things, like Pokemon, it's really cool, really cool way to do it. But anyway, you get through and you get to Temeria, where you bump into Kid again. And again, I told her to get in your bike, love. Now, I'm not sure if I actually needed to here, because I want to recruit a character later on called Glenn, who's kind of like the frog character of this game, but not being a frog. But, you know, frog was also called Glenn in Chrono Trigger. So, I think I had to reject her to recruit Glenn, but everyone else seems to have picked her up at this point. And I'm like, oh, okay. I hope I haven't made a mistake. But I believe Kid eventually forces her way into your party anyway at some point later on in the game. That's my understanding of it. So I'm not too worried about it at the moment. But yeah, she basically says that there's, for some reason, she wants to go into Viper Manor. And you should too, because that guy called Kosh, who is a dragoon, who tried to accost you down at Cape Howe, you know, there's obviously a reason there. Like Kosh, when you hear accosts you, calls you a ghost. And it's just like, so they might know something. So that's like the vague, tenuous reason why we decide to invade Viper Manor. And then at this point, you get the choice to actually choose one of three characters from around the town of Temeria to help you break in. And I went to go get Guile because I heard that he's actually supposed to be Magus. Like, I think they rewrote him to not be Magus, but he was originally written to be Magus in the story. But I don't know. It's all a bit vague. I don't really understand much. I've only seen some odd YouTube videos, not all of them in this century. So we'll just have to see how that goes, really. But yeah, I thought I'd get Guile anyway, just because he's supposed to be that person. And it's quite cool. You meet up with Guile, then you bump into this guy called Kosh, who's having a go at someone who's captured a mermaid. It's all very confusing. but yeah, you can eventually get this guy, Kosh, to give you a boat ride to the bottom of Viper Manor, where you can climb up some cliffs. And you get this really cool scene as well when you go to get Kosh, where you see Glenn and Riddle, who was from, again, Riddle is the daughter of the Viper guy. So yeah, if you walk around Temeria, you can get some backstory on this. There's a Viper Festival coming up celebrating General Viper, who is in charge of the Arcadian Dragoons. So he's kind of like the local lord in charge of the area type thing. And yeah, there's a big festival going on in his honour soon. And Riddle is his daughter. And Glenn is not a full Knight of Dragoon. Dragoonian Knight, that's better. I'm trying to get this right in my head. But his dad and his brother was, and then there's these other three Dragoons who are, which is Kosh, someone else and someone else. I can't remember the names right now. And Glenn's supposed to be like the fourth one, but he hasn't like fully qualified. And I don't know if he really wants to, because his dad and his brother were in that job and they're both dead. And he's like went to their special family sword, which is marking their grave, and it never rusts because it's some sort of magical sword. Yeah. We learn like a lot of extra lore here, and it's really cool. but yeah, it's really, really good stuff. And then you get into Viper Manor, which was really cool for me with Guile. I had to go up these cliffs while these guards threw rocks down. And then eventually, once I got to the top of the cliffs, I had to fight the guards. And then this big bird thing came and ate one of the guards. Then I had to fight this big bird thing. You know, it's cool. I got a good couple of star levels. Oh, star levels. Oh, right, so leveling up in Chrono Cross. Let's get this out here now, yeah? You don't need to fight the enemy encounters, really, in Chrono Cross. So what happens is, when you defeat a boss, you will gain a star level. Characters that are not in your party at that time, so people on the bench, so like, at this point in the game, I've got Guile in my team, because he's my guide into Viper Manor. I've got Lena, because she's supposed to be the best mage of the game, and I'm having quite a bit of fun with her. And I've got Surge. I've got the blue-haired Surge in my team. So I've got Poshel, the big dog. I've got Mojo sitting on my bench at the moment. But it doesn't matter. If I fight and win, they still get a star level up. So their level creases and keeps up with the rest of the team. Then once you've got a star level up, there's like some bonus stats you can get from random encounters. And it's normally like really minor HP, maybe some defensive boosts. I don't think I've ever seen an attack boost from one of the random encounters. But you'll only get that for like 3 or 4 fights before you kind of like max out that star level. So it's a bit strange. It's almost like you get star level 2, and then there's like a little bit of extra buffer you can do the other side. And then you get star level 3, then an extra bit of buff. And it's just kind of like, from what I've seen online, it's not, you don't have to do the random encounters because it's not really worth it. But you may have noticed after a boss battle where you get a star level, straight afterwards, you'll be getting little boosts from the random encounters, and then suddenly those boosts stop. You know, if at that point you get to this thing and you're not getting any boosts, just don't bother. Just carry on. Just try and avoid every enemy you can. Or with the switch, turn on no encounters. Amazing. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Anyway, yeah, so yeah, I've got a couple of star levels there. Oh yeah, so it's also very important. If your character dies during one of these boss battles or scripted encounters, because I wouldn't count the two guards I had to fight at top as a boss battle, but I still got a star level for it. If you die if one of your characters is dead during one of these encounters, they will not get the star level. Do not complete that fight. Run away. You can run away from boss fights in this game. You know, if I understood the elemental system, sometimes you can run into a boss fight, see what it's weak against, run out of the boss fight, re-equip all your party to have the opposite element, and go back in and slaughter the bastard. So, you know, use this information wisely, people. Use it to your advantage. But yeah, don't finish a boss battle with a dead character, or they will be forever underleveled, okay? Very important. But yeah, anyway, you get into Viper Manor, you push this big snake thing. You have to do the dragon feeding first, don't you? So you have to go off and feed these dragons for this guy to give you a key. And you can feed it like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 things, and you get different items for it. Apparently, the item for feeding 100 things to these dragons, they're like horses, you know, they're kept in stables and stuff. But yeah, the item that you get isn't really worth it. Apparently, I did 30. I thought, I'm just going to pick this. And I got a copper vest, I think, a copper chest plate, whatever it was. It was better than what they were wearing at the time. I was pretty pleased. Apparently, there's like the fourth... for doing 40 is the best one, because that's where you get it gives you like a heal, like a minor heal all for the whole party. So yeah, that's the one that I should have done. But yeah, don't bother doing 100. I'm not even sure if there's an achievement for it if you're playing this with trophies or whatever those things are. I don't understand. But yeah, that's one of the things you could do. And then this old guy gives you the key to get into the manor. Then you go in, you push the snake, and you fall into a trap. And so yeah, you're basically held in prison. Now, I think if Kid's in your party at this point, she will somehow break you out of the prison. But in my one, she wasn't in my party, but she turned up to distract the guard and then let you out. Cool stuff. And then if you follow her into the treasure room, she comments on this thing, oh, the frozen flame is not here. It must be in Viper's office. You're like, oh, okay. But yeah, this is really... I like Viper Manor. People said they got really lost and confused, but it's basically just two small hallways to the left and right. So I'm not really sure how people managed to get lost. But yeah, it was I didn't have any problem navigating around it. It was really fun. If you walk down the middle of the paths, these like ghosts and like sprites drop down for you to battle. So you're supposed to be hugging the walls top and bottom. So it's trying to make you be tactical about it. And there's like a point where you have to learn a code. Yeah, you have to learn the code for the snake thing at the top, which originally dumped you into this trap, into the prison. And Glenn says, oh, I can never remember this code. And he goes and writes it on the wall next to his bed, because it changes every day. So you can just go up to the wall next to his bed, read the code, and then you have to remember it in your head. I think mine was like 8 left, 9 right. Which took bloody ages for it to spin round that amount of times. But you know, I kind of like that aspect of it. And like the code changes every single time. So you can't just brute force it. You have to go down and do the bit with Glenn to get into the next part of the manor. But it's cool. You meet lots of people around here. You meet Harlequin. You meet the other couple of Dragoon guys, including Kosh. Apparently there's something you can do where if you try to open his chest in his room like 20 times, something happens. But I didn't bother. I did it like 2 or 3 times and he told me to bugger off. I was like, okay. I'm not going to outstay my welcome here. Sorry. When you escape the prison, you dress up in guard's uniform. So nobody really questions you as you're walking around. He's dressed up as guards. But eventually, once you get through and into the manor proper, you can go off to the left and up to this like library thing where you will meet Balthazar, the prophet. Yes. Don't know if it's the same Balthazar from Chrono Trigger, but that's who he is. And he tells you about the fact that there's like two split dimensions and Surge exists outside of time, basically. He doesn't exist in this timeline, which he's currently in, but he does exist in the other timeline. And like, what's he going to do about it? And it's all very cryptic and confusing. And then it turns out this little girl who's with him, who really wants to kill us, is actually the most powerful dragoon out of the lot. And she challenges us to a fight. Again, auto battle. Bless you. Took care of her like a dream. It was quite a long fight. I did get involved at some points to sort of help myself out. But it was good fun. And then you get to go up and then you go into the Viper's Manor and there's this weird artifact on his desk, which isn't the frozen flame that Kid's looking for. Something called the Dragon's Tear. And she comments, Kid suddenly arrived, for me, Kid arrived at this point. And then General Viper came out from a fake door right at the back of the office. And he goes, what are you doing here? She's like, oh my God, it's the guy himself. Give me my frozen flame. And then out from behind him comes a guy called Lynx, who is literally a giant lynx. So Lynx, if you don't know, is like a big predatorial cat. I think it's like one of the smallest of like the big cats, if that makes sense. And yeah, he just looks like a giant bipedal lynx. And she goes, "Oh, you murdering bastard," but doesn't give any real context to why Lynx is a murdering bastard. And then he gives some cryptic lines to Serge. So it's almost like, oh, he knows more about Serge as well. And then Serge seems to get really like kind of spaced out looking into the dragon's tear and starts getting some weird vision. And then Lynx says, "We are very close to the end of humankind." And it's almost like he's implying that somehow Serge is going to bring about the end of the world type thing. But yeah, it all starts to go wrong. You have a fight with Lynx. Turns out he's just using like a cognitive shadow, which is... cognitive shadow. That's very Brandon Sanderson of me. But yeah, he's like weird shadow version of himself. He's not real. So you can't really hurt him. And then Riddell walks in and Kid jumps on her with a knife and takes her prisoner. Then she walks her out of the room. We all end up walking to the edge of this balcony thing where we're all trapped in. And in a moment of distraction, Lynx throws a poisoned sword thing. I had to watch this again on YouTube because at first I thought Serge did it. I was like, what the fuck? But no, apparently it's Lynx. Lynx throws this poisoned sword at Kid. It stabs her and then she falls off down into the water. And then he says... really cryptically to Serge, I keep going to Chrono, says really cryptically to Chrono, "You are the assassin of time, the literal Chrono Trigger." And it's just like, man, fucking blow that one on me, won't you? And Serge is sort of like has a little mini fit type thing and then just jumps into the water below where Kosh picks you up and takes you home. And then you wake up and then that's going to be the start of the next segment, waking up there. Yes. Oh, I'm really enjoying this. We're getting a good bit of crypticness. Like I say, I'm treating the extra characters as they are, just side content. I'll pick up the ones I want to. I basically want to collect all the weird-looking ones. There's like I'm very interested in getting Skelly put together, but I've only got his head at the moment. You meet his grandma. You meet Skelly's grandma back in Temeria, which is cool. And also Temeria's music. Chef kiss. You may recognise it from a certain news jingle that we have. but yes, music is just glorious in this game. Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying the game. It's a lot of fun. Mostly because the game plays itself and I'm just enjoying the story for what it is. Bonkersness. But anyway, let's find out what Scott has to say time. Yeah, should we do some shots with Scott? Shots. Yeah, let's do some shots with Scott. Here's 9 minutes of nonsense from that man.
Oh, yeah. You know what time it is, aren't you? Grab yourself a glass and pour yourself something lovely. It's time for Shots with Scott. Yeah.
Hey everybody, hope you're comfy and ready to party with yours truly. It's Scott, and I'm here today to talk to you about the first RPG side club segment for Chrono Cross. So right away, I would say with Chrono Cross, I thought it was pretty dang cool. I thought it looked very beautiful. Like the FMVs look better than most Final Fantasy FMVs of that era. The backgrounds are beautiful. The game is really pretty. I know the character models have been redone, but those look really cool too. And then the music is like absolute bangers all across the board. So the art and the visuals and the soundtrack are all chef's kiss for me so far. Just moi. Love it. It's really good. As far as the actual gameplay, though, I'm a little bit more iffy on. I like the idea of the battle system. I think the physical attack, like building up your hit percentage, rate percentage, is like a cool idea. It works pretty well in practice. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'm mashing the buttons a lot to get it to go faster. I don't know. But the elements are kind of weird. The element field is kind of weird. I haven't been able to get too much into the element field because I can't be asked yet. It's just too much to bother with. And then some of the bosses have been really hard too, I thought. Not really until towards the end, but that's how it goes. There's some feedback here in the Discord from Rob K. I'm still not sold on the combat system. It's got some good ideas and physical attack system is a great idea. I just find battles as a whole sluggish and clunky, so find myself just turning on auto battle and battle boost so I can ignore them. I haven't done that yet, but I do agree that the battle system is kind of clunky overall and just not executed as well as maybe it sounds like it should on paper. I'm not enjoying the battle system. And then the story is another thing. It has a promising start and I'm not saying it's totally without merit, but I can already see why people hate the 40 character system. with that many characters, there's not truly any time for one single character to shine. And then, of course, this game also has, expectedly, my favorite, or sorry, least favorite trope, which is the silent protagonist. So that's already a cardinal sin, but they expound on that issue even further by making the main thrust of the plot being like, what is happening to Serge? Why did Serge die as a kid? Why is Serge in this alternate dimension? And poor Serge, all this shit's happening to him. And I'm just like, I do not give a fuck. What? I have no reason to care about Serge. I will say Kid hasn't been quite as annoying as she was in Radical Dreamers so far. I think it's a good thing that we played Radical Dreamers first for me, because I do care about Serge and Kid and the things surrounding them and the characters because of my experience of Radical Dreamers, where Serge was a, fleshed out, maybe a strong word, but like developed character. So I just find myself not really caring about anything that's happening, unfortunately. And I don't want to feel that way. So it's whatever. So I will say, back on like the actual details of this segment, you start out with that dream dungeon. Apparently the third character you have here at the beginning of the game is totally randomized. So I had Nikki, which I thought was interesting because I did not go the Nikki route later in the segment when you have a choice between three different characters to go with. I thought the intro and the was kind of cute, you know, and then you learn this tutorial from the village elder. I don't even remember his name. But if you do the combat tutorial, it takes like 5 or 8 minutes and they just unload everything on you at once. And I'm just like, bro, I got maybe the first minute and a half of that. And then my mind started being like the hamster running on the wheel, monkeys clashing his cymbals. Luckily, since I was streaming, there was one person in particular in my chat who was very familiar with Cooper Fox. Yeah, his name's Cooper Fox, very familiar with the game and was able to like help me figure out the battle system and figure out what to do next. They've made the game a lot more enjoyable for me. Lena, the female that's supposed to be Serge's girlfriend, I liked the original scene with her and Serge on the beach, but the fact that Serge just like all of a sudden goes to the other dimension was kind of whatever to me. It's just not, it just came out of nowhere. It didn't seem like anything caused it. Moving on to Lizard Rock chasing the Komodos. That was kind of fun. I didn't have to look any of the solutions up for that, but I did struggle for a little bit with one of them. I can't remember exactly which one it was. I think navigating the pre-rendered backgrounds here struggled with me a little bit. Mama Komodo didn't have a problem. You get that sweet scene with Lena. And then in the other Arnie village, you know, it was kind of cool, like feeling out like, oh shit, Serge just doesn't exist in this world, or he died 10 years ago or whatever. You meet Karsh, Salt, and Pepper, who seems like they might be like the Team Rocket of this game, like comedic relief villains. Just kind of annoying. Kid meets you there. Speeding through some stuff. Poshul, the little pink dog creature, very annoying, very annoying. Unfortunately, he's one of the best characters so far, at least as far as I can tell. And I really like the idea of these joke characters like Mojo and Skelly. Getting into Termina, I thought Termina, it was really surreal and weird for me to be in Termina because the music there is awesome. But those who listen to the podcast know that our news segment, Jingle, has the music from Termina. And so I felt like I was in some kind of like bizarro world where Chrono Cross had stolen from my podcast, or like I was in like a video game episode of the RPG After Years or something. It was really interesting to me. Let's see. I did reject Kid a few times so that I could recruit Lena. And then in Termina, which is a lot bigger, it took me a long time to get through Termina, to be honest. I did go through Guile's path. I picked Guile because he was the replacement character for Magus, if you guys listen to the development history in our Chrono Trigger episode. Because they originally were going to have Magus in this game, or McGill from Radical Dreamers, but they decided because of the 40-character system, they couldn't possibly tell Magus' story adequately, which to me is like, there's your sign. That's why you shouldn't have done the 40-character system. You can't. There's the problem. But anyway, went at the Viper Manor Bluffs. Super, super annoying climbing and having the rocks fall on top of you. Didn't struggle with the boss there. Viper Manor itself took forever to get through. just getting inside the trapped entrance. The dragon feeding minigame, I didn't find too bad. The rewards are worth it for how easy it was, especially if you use slow motion. The 100 task was not that bad. You know, you meet Glenn and Lucia here. Just some interesting things happening in Vapor Manor all around. I did appreciate the fact that everything was like, oh, here's Radical Dreamers reenacted. That's cool. You know, you see a lot of the same elements. You meet, Riddell, and you hear about the Acacia Dragoons and General Viper and all that. You meet Lynx, which is interesting because Lynx is some kind of actual cat man, which he was not in Radical Dreamers, as far as I could tell. And he wants, you know, the Chrono Trigger or the whatever. He wants that shit. I was kind of disengaged from the plot at this point, if I'm being honest. But I did like the part where you know, Kid takes Lady Riddell hostage and they jump off the cliff and all that. Other notes here. The only other real note I wanted to make sure I mentioned was the leveling system, and this game sucks because it's kind of like FF13 where you get capped off at leveling up at a certain point, but also you get most of your experience boost from winning boss battles. And so, A, if your character is dead in this boss battle, and you know that's when they're most likely to die because it's a boss battle, they don't get the experience and then they're permanently underleveled. But also, that means it's actively discouraging you from using different characters, which goes totally counter against the idea of having such a wide, vast array of characters that you can use. So I think there was definitely some design decisions made with this game. I'm not willing to say I dislike it yet. I need to see how it goes, but it's let me down a little bit so far, but I hope it manages to turn my opinion around. I know we're still early. There could be some really cool plot revelations, and maybe the battle system will grab me, or maybe I can use some cheats to make it a little easier. I don't know. Sorry for the longer shots with Scott, but there was a lot to be said here. I'm going to finish it no matter what, though. It is a Chrono game, and I am a podcast host of an RPG podcast. Okie dokie. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this. This has been A Shot with Scott.
There we go. So, Scott mostly agreed with me. He doesn't like the 40-character system, though. It's just side content in Scott. Don't worry about it. You're not going to play the game 3 times. You need at least 3 run-throughs of this game to collect all the characters. So don't worry about it, man. Just relax. Enjoy it. Use auto-battle. Get on with life. Anyway. Yes, feedback. Now, thank you, Scott, for reading out Rod K's feedback. I think that might have been the most recent one because he left 2 feedbacks. So yeah, let's go. So Rob K said he finished the segment after restarting. So he changed from Switch to PS5 because the Switch loading times are just a pain, plain old bad. So again, I didn't get it. Here's my feedback. The story has really intrigued me and I can't wait to see where it goes, especially after the final scene with Lynx. The recruitment aspect is really interesting, albeit a little stressful, making sure I don't get locked out of characters I want. And I'm actually looking forward to playing New Game Plus later on to see the differences and recruiting more. I've already played the first 10 minutes of the next chapter, and made my choice there. I went with the route to get Glenn. The only character that I really don't like so far is Poshel. Oh, Poshel dog, come on. And that's because she reminds me of Tama from Wolf 2. Rob, man. You're goading me here. You know I love the Tama. Don't anyone speak ill of the Tama. Okay. I'm still not sold on the combat system. It's got some good ideas. It's what Scott said, wasn't it? It's got some good great idea. I just find the battles whole sluggish and clunky, so I find myself turning the auto battle and battle boost, so I can just ignore them. I'm sure the system played well on release, but it doesn't really stand up for me now. Whew. Right, okay. Do you know what? Getting a bit parched in the throat here. Don't think I've really got the stamina to read out all the feedback. We've got a lot. So I'm going to hand you over to... I've been playing around with the old text-to-speech bot, okay? And it's got some advanced features here. So these should sound more realistic, like human voices, okay? So let's see how this goes. So the first notes here are from Ginormous from the Ginormous from the Dragoon Effect podcast. So here we go. Let's let the bot go.
The combat is really neat. The various colors and setting the field by using elements, it's interesting. The various levels of physical attacks is another interesting strategy. Salt and Pepper accidentally teaching things, it was cool. This game is really neat. I got lost in Vapor Manor a number of times.
And next up, we've got our very own resident. Here's Frost. Yes, come on, Bot. Play. No, play. Stop ignoring me. Play Frost. Oh, there we go.
Frosts are tough. Reached the checkpoint 4.5 hours, playing on a PS3. No guide. Party with Surge, Kid, and Guile. Still getting the hang of the combat system, but no real problems so far. Assassin of Time? Soundtrack has lived up to the hype. Main theme and Termina theme have been two highlights so far.
And here's Rob K's original feedback. I'm just going to get the bot out to say this.
Just got to Termina and enjoying the game so far. The story setup so far has me pretty hooked. I know the board strikes the viewable story already, so excited to see how it plays out. I'm not 100% sold on the combat system, though. It feels a bit clunky and slow, although I do like the three options for how to attack based on strength versus magic accuracy of the hit. The character recruitment has been a little stressful as I don't want to be locked out of any cool characters. I know, it takes multiple run-throughs to get everyone, so whenever a named character or one with a picture on their text pops up, I start playing really carefully. It's not the level of the trigger, but loving it so far. Baby.
Next up, we have JS. Yes, Jay was going to try and record his own feedback, but it didn't really work out for him. So here's another bot.
I first tried playing this without using a guide. I got to Viper Manor on my first session, then looked at a guide after and realized I missed three party members. Started over and followed a guide that just lists when to recruit party members, and now have the dog, Surge's girl, a walking voodoo doll, Kid, Guile, and I'm carrying around Skelly's noggin. I like how you learn and items you pick up in one world can help you solve puzzles in the other. Like when you give Kiki's father his shark tooth necklace. I don't know yet if I'm a fan of the combat. The limited once per battle ability slots seem like they might be a problem in longer battles. Fortunately, the fights so far haven't been too hard or long. Even the one with Lynx. Looking forward to recruiting Glenn in the next section and finding out what's up with Surge living between two worlds.
Oh, and here's Clary. Clary. Yeah, Clary's a fantastic streamer. So check out her feedback here. Come on, Bot.
I did get a bit lost in Viper Manor as well. I feel like the tutorials didn't explain things very well, but once I got the hang of the combat system, I really started to enjoy it. Plenty of depth here.
And as before, we mentioned Skelly, who's actually in this game. Here he is. Here's Skelly from Brett from the Skeleton House podcast.
Hey folks, I'm cheating, and I'm a bit ahead, but I feel like the game hasn't quite hit its groove by the end of Viper Manor. The music is great, but I feel like the combat options weren't open enough for me to really have a battle plan beyond use strongest opposite spell color on baddie. I also felt like I couldn't get a squad of weirdos together that I really liked yet. Was fine, but the game gets much stronger shortly, IMO.
And finally, Queen Deesa. Apparently this one's got some like Norwegian things in there, so it might sound, I think this is Norwegian man sounding. Let's see how it goes.
Love the first part of the game. The manor is the weakest part for me though so far. Probably because I get easily lost and love nature areas more. The world map music was so good, I went out there to listen to it multiple times. I enjoy the battle system too, and the colors that pop all around, and I enjoy how weird it is. Feels like anything can happen.
Oh, yes! I love the feedback bots. They are great, great fun. It does say here that the AI for the bots can learn more and more as it goes, so they should get more and more clever as this goes on and sound more and more like real people, hopefully. I think actually there's some settings here. I think I might make them all sound British next week. So we'll see how that goes, yeah? Anyway, I'm enjoying playing with this set. It's more work using the text-to-speech bots, but it's good fun. It's good fun. Anyway, guys, that's been it for this week. Remember, your next job, because I make everybody work, including Scott. Sorry, Scott. Is to play Tales in the Sky 1. That's our next RPG. Oh, no, wait, hang on a second. That's a spoiler for the future. You've got to complete Fort Dragonia, the first visit, by June 19th. Okay? June 19th. And then this episode, the bonus episode, will be out shortly after that. If you happen to be playing along for the main RPG club, you know, this is coming out Thursday. You guys got till Sunday, all right? I'm halfway through Chapter 7. I've got a little bit to go. But you need to get to the end of Chapter 7 in Final Fantasy 13 by Sunday. So that's only 3 days away from now, if you're listening on the day of release. People, get your Crystariums maxed out. Yeah! Anyway, guys, it's been good fun today. So I'm going to sign off now. So that's goodbye from me. Goodbye from Shots with Scott. Goodbye from the text-to-speech bots. We'll see you all next time in a couple of weeks. So everybody, yeah, don't get stabbed by a giant predatorial cat. That would really suck. Love you all.
Hey folks, my name is Brett and I'm one of the hosts of Skeleton House, an audio-only Let's Play podcast where my two friends Jess...
What is happening? Oh my god!
...and Steve...
Even he looks spooked.
...play through video games and I edit them, add context, and act as your eyeballs. Also, we have a cat. Come check us out at skeletonhouse.buzzsprout.com or look up Skeleton House on your favorite podcast app. Or your least favorite podcast app. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.